Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance need the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. You know I'm trying to please to the call.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Merry New Year. Trading Places, Merry New Year. Happy 2018. Today is New Year's Day. Football Day. It's been a heck of a bowl season. Look at the Big Ten. Who would have ever figured? Who would ever thunk it? If you ever play the sports, you know the Big Ten was always a go against, and they're kicking ass and taking names. And welcome aboard, everybody, as we do our New Year's show and take a look back at last year. And we got our friend Jane King coming up. Matt Demeter will be here tomorrow. And, of course, we have other things to look at, but we kind of review, recap, and look ahead. And, you know, I don't know. Let's take a peek back at a record year in the markets. You know, not one period where we went down 3%. Pretty interesting. You know, I think that, again, I look at a lot of this as a revolt. I think the Fed has done a lot of damage that we will soon see the damage. Actually, I think 2017 was the year of the cryptocurrency world, as we've got, you know, many governments start to need a diaper because they're getting nervous. And, you know, I said this, I've written this, and I believe that the cryptocurrency space is real and it's spectacular. And I don't own, I shouldn't say that, I do own some now. Okay, I've got a couple that I own now, but obviously not the Bitcoin. I didn't make any money. All right. But I think that the overall space is here to stay. I think that you're going to see some movement, and I think that you're going to continue to see governments try to interfere with the cryptocurrency world, and we'll talk about that as well later. And of course, you've got the tax plan, which I don't think is all that great. Again, something is better than nothing, but I think that as much as we might want to be excited about small business with our lower rate, I think the lower rate, in my opinion, just lulled us down into a spot of more trouble and more of the ability to take out the middle class and the small business and allow the big business to get bigger. And I the only numbers I can give you is that my tax rate, let's say, went from 35 to 25, but the big business, let's say, went from 35 to 20. So they pick up a 5% edge to begin with, on top of every other edge that they already have against me. Okay, which would be their cost of employment is less because they don't have to pay as much because they can give away more benefits. Their cost of goods and services they need to use for business are less because they can buy more. Their exposure is greater because they can afford to advertise more. You know, there's just, I can give you a list after list of things that make the difference, which is why if you really wanted to make the tax plan fair and equitable, you would reverse those positions so that the small business man can actually keep big business in line. And I don't think we did that. I think that this is a tragedy that will play out over the next few years, but they did not make it a position where we can actually get true competition. I think they put us in a spot where we can actually wipe out more of small business because of the lack of affordability of trying to be in business. And that's the real issue, because small business always pays the best salaries. Small business always gives any person who wants to take a chance and do something an opportunity to become a big business. So I think that you're seeing, and I think you can even see how they kind of played out in the Russell, although it was strong like the other indices. It did not explode, and it did not make, you know, new highs towards the end of the year like everything else did. So I think that's something that, you know, we can look at. And again, I'm not saying anything is major. I'm just saying that, you know, the big indexes all made highs, and the Russell made its high back, you know, in early December. So, you know, is it really that great? And I say, no, I don't think so. But we have, you know, many things going on. And the last thing about the small and big business, especially if you're involved in some sort of the regulatory part of it, the big guys tell the regulators to go scratch and just pay their fines and move on. The little guys get stuck forever in fortunes to have to deal with it. And it's as simple as even a thing, as some of you who take credit cards know what chargebacks can happen, right? You sell somebody something, and then they decide, you know, especially when it's a service, and then they decide to debate and fight with your credit card company. And, of course, typically the credit card company, and they're too big to fight, they side with the consumer many times because the little guys can't fight it. So what happens is you end up eating it, you give something away for nothing, and get screwed. So, again, these are things that become, you know, an issue. But the markets were made new highs. We cannot debate the fact that new highs were there. We cannot debate the fact that the Fed has pigeonholed us into one asset class. We have been on this drum for quite a while. And again, we're not saying that, we're just saying, all right? But I think that is what is also bringing in some strength and things to the world of the cryptocurrencies. I think we had some amazing stories throughout the year of some major manipulation. You've watched the U.S. dollar go up, get trashed, go up. And I think that, you know, that is more to manipulation than the real story of supply and demand. And I think that you finance majors out there, you know, you look at the supply demand curve. I don't think this has been representational of what that is. I think this has been what we call a manipulated scam market. And of course, when you have the ability to print the money, when you have the ability to do whatever you want to do, and you have the support of the government behind you to do those things, I think you can create a lot of havoc throughout everybody else. And, of course, we have managed to create massive, massive, massive amounts of debt, which, again, nobody wants to talk about. All right. I think that that's another tragedy that we're seeing, that the debt potential is huge. And not only the debt of the government, which is close to what, $22 trillion, whatever it is, but the debt of the average American. All right. We've gotten back into spending more than we make. Christmas time was here. And of course, the numbers were big. And of course, what does that really mean? It means that people went into hock. They went into debt. They used that credit card to buy things they can't pay for and they won't be able to afford. And of course, we all know what happens then. The usury rates that those lovely credit card companies charge you are murderous. And of course, once you get in, the charging on your credit card and trying to pay it off over time is the same thing as going to the Roach Motel. You can get in, but you can't get out. And I think, again, nobody wants to discuss this. They want to talk about, you know, the good. And again, I'm not trying to be negative. I want you to understand that, again, I've benefited from these market rallies through my long-term portfolio. I've benefited from things that are going on. But again, I'm not worried about me. I'm worried about the average, the masses. And I think that is more of a traditional downfall to what can happen versus a benefit to all of us. And I think those are some of the issues that need to be looked at. And that, to me, feels like a problem. But anyways, it is 2018, and Happy New Year to everybody. We're going to stop out here for a break, but want to remind you about, you know, the new year comes, and of course, the new budget for the high school investing program comes, and Uncle Bubba's got to come up with some more dough and looking for some help. So if you want to help me out, you go to patreon.com/BubbaTrading. Again, that's patreon.com/BubbaTrading. And of course, what we've decided to do now is all of those who do will get access, a username and a password, to highschoolinvesting.com and be able to go through the curriculum and learn and see some of the things that they'd like to know for their own personal trading. So make sure you check that out. In the meantime, don't forget to get the Bubba Show every day at libertytalk.fm. Our goal this year is to hit 1 million downloads per month. So that we're getting close, but we need your help to do that. In the meantime, excuse me, Happy New Year. We'll be back after the break with Jane King and more of the Bubba Show. Bubba, always. Back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with the one, the only, the unbelievably talented Jane King from Lila Max Media and the Kaching Report. Jane King, What's up? You ready for the big bash in Times Square?
I am. It's going to be 11 degrees. So I'm glad that I knocked that off my bucket list several years ago.
It is amazing, is it not? And it's, I guess, you're in New York. How is the security? I'm sure they've already started, right? You know, getting things ready. And is it crazy?
Well, yeah, you know, I've noticed definitely more police lately, especially since, that incident a couple of weeks ago at the Port Authority. The New York Police Department is better at crowd control than I think any police department on the planet. And I imagine that, on New Year's Eve, this is going to be the most policed event in the world. And you see a ton of police, all over. There's a ton of stuff you don't see. I know they've got, snipers on hotel roofs and things like that. So it's going to be, I feel pretty comfortable that we're going to have a safe New Year's Eve in New York again.
And I heard you might be going. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, no. Definitely not this year. Oh, my goodness. It's going to be so cold. And you don't just go like at 11. I mean, you to get a spot, people line up for, sometimes even earlier. I mean, you're going to be standing out there for 7-8 hours. It's dangerous, actually.
So as the year ends, and of course a monster year, a 71 or 72 record since the beginning of the year, and over 80 since Trump has been the president, and the new tax plan was signed actually last Friday, and so here we are. So what is the Jane King outlook for 2018?
I'd love to see another year like this. Boy, I mean, my 401k is like awesome looking right now. I think we're going to continue to see strong markets. I mean, I think a couple things are going on. There's a lot of pent-up demand. I mean, there's really been, so let's see, Trump was elected in 2016. Really, since about 2000, 2001, the markets, we've been up and we've had good years, but it hasn't felt like, I mean, you and I have talked about this a lot of times, the whole economy, and not everybody's been participating in this. And we've had phases. There's been hedge fund phases, and there's been energy phases, and there's been Bitcoin phases. But we need, like, something more even and for more people to participate in. And I'm always an optimist, but it feels like we're starting to kind of get into that, like get the U.S. kind of back and growing again. So I think that we're going to continue to do well, maybe not 72 record closes again, but I think the market will continue to do well. And plus, globally, we're seeing competition. A lot of other countries are starting to take notice of what we did with taxes. They're going to become more competitive. So fingers crossed. I think we could be entering a nice era for investors.
It could be. I mean, again, I'd be a little bit afraid considering that we haven't had a 3% down move in over 2 years now. There's some things that would be certainly scary to me, but I think, you mentioned Bitcoin, and, it's funny, how markets work in general, because basically all markets are the same, whether it's Bitcoin or the stock market, they all do the same types of trading. And of course, I was listening to somebody on air, and the guy probably earns, let's say, $60,000 a year. And he owns like a couple of hundred Bitcoins, right? So, it's like $3 million. And so the host said, are you going to sell any and take any off the table? And he says, no, they're going higher. And I go, really? I mean, here's a guy that could take a year, a lifetime's worth of wages by just, and you don't have to sell them all. I'm not telling anybody you should sell all of them, right? I said, just sell half, take the $1.5 million, put it in your pocket, live the rest of your life, and then you can hold the other $1.5 million. And if I said, you should always be more pissed off that you missed out on part of it than you're sitting there wondering why you didn't sell when you had the opportunity. I mean, what do you think about all that stuff?
Well, yeah, I've had a lot of conversations about Bitcoin. And to me, at this moment in time, it just screams bubble. It's a small market. It's had this amazing run. I've got, people asking me about it that aren't interested in the market at all. I mean, so all those signs kind of telling you there's some kind of bubble. But when you talk about, like, when I was home for Christmas back in Indiana, so a lot of people were asking about it. And when I kind of explained the reasons, and especially when I look at young people, even my son is interested in Bitcoin. And I think the world is changing, and we might see, and I don't know. Yeah, I think the market, there's like, 200 cyber currencies out there right now. I mean, it's ridiculous. Anybody can start one. The market
there's over 1,000, just so you know.
Over 1,000. Okay. There you go. I mean, it's ridiculous, you know, and, you know, there's companies out there that are mining for them. And I mean, it's just crazy the industry that's come up around this. So it does definitely, you know, scream that there's a problem. But I think it's going to shake itself out, probably kind of like .com did. And, you know, pets.com and socks.com and, you know, some of that stuff's going to go away and you're going to emerge some leaders. But I can see a market for a global currency that is not controlled by a central bank and that there's no kind of currency fluctuations and you don't have to have things like converted and stuff like that. I can see a world where that exists someday.
Well, actually, I say my opinion is that the Bitcoin world, and we'll just use Bitcoin because there's so many of them, but the Bitcoin world is simply a financial revolution against the governments and central banks around the globe because they are the ones that have proportions. What are your thoughts to that?
Well, I think that's part of it. I think there's a few reasons. So I think that's one of the main things. I think it's also seen as a hedge against inflation. I think it's also seen as kind of a, you don't have to worry about the currency fluctuations. You know, if you're in a country like a Zimbabwe or Venezuela, or even if you're going to Europe, for example. So I was in Europe earlier this year. So I was in Switzerland and Germany. Well, I had to get Swiss francs. I had to get U.S. dollars. I had to get euros. I mean, it's just confusing. And I can see a world, especially as technology brings us all closer together, where we have some kind of common currency. I mean, I guess it'd be Bitcoin. I don't know. Ethereum is also very strong. Some people prefer Ethereum to Bitcoin. Bitcoin's the biggest, the most liquid, even though it's not really all that liquid. But I think even the rise this year surprised people in cyber currencies, and they weren't quite ready for what we saw this year.
Yeah, I guess I'm from what I understand, I talk to a lot of these guys all the time about the stuff, and I'm understanding that Bitcoin will not be the one because of its very high transaction cost. But again, I'm a believer. You know, I've gone from a non-believer to a believer, and I think it's going to be – I think it's, you know, the old Seinfeld line, they're real and they're spectacular. I think that's going to be fairly true. Now, you were just home. You were just in Indiana, and I know – I mean, ag prices are just absolutely in the toilet. How was the visit home, and what did anybody talk about it while you were home?
Well, not really, believe it or not. I've heard, you know, some talk about farmland prices and how they've kind of, you know, not done a whole lot. But, yeah, I mean, it's been kind of sad. I'm just hoping those farmers have some money in the stock market because that's been where, you know, the growth has been this year, if you're not in Bitcoin. But, yeah, I mean, it's an oversupply. We've had 3 great years of growing. Oil's starting to get some life to it. Maybe that will bring up the whole commodity space, but yeah, it's kind of sad to see them not participate in this.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, again, it goes back to the whole gimmick and what's going on. So, what's planned for your educational program for 2018? Any immediate plans coming up?
Well, I don't have any recording scheduled right now. I've been like slammed during the month of December with social events and work and everything else. So, but just, you know, in general, more educational podcasts. I want to try to find out what some people are doing in schools. I think that's really important. And just some additional studies. Like, it's always interesting to kind of dig into some of these studies and see what works and what doesn't when trying to teach kids about the next generation about money. So then we'll do it on Bitcoin.
Well, you know what? You should do it on Bitcoin because I'll tell you something. That's a lot of the young kids are very much involved in that because that's right in their generation. But
my son came with me to, he's 10. He came with me to a Christmas party here at the NASDAQ. And we're talking about Bitcoin, my 10-year-old son. And some guy went up to him and he was like, "What do you know about Bitcoin?" And he was like, "Well, I know that it's not real money, but it's on a computer." And the guy was like, "How do you know that?" And he was like, "My mom." But they're like talking about it. Like kids are talking about it. And he thinks the term cryptocurrencies is like the coolest term in the world. So that's from a 10-year-old boy's standpoint.
Jane King, Happy New Year. Healthy New Year. Prosperous. And
Happy New Year.
As always, thank you. And we'll see you next week.
Okay.
That was our friend Jane King from Lila Max Media, the Ka-Ching Report. And, you know, Jane and I both believe in education. And I just want to remind you all, highschoolinvesting.com. It's a new year and it's time to pay some new debt. And, of course, certainly could use some help as I have supported this program. We're going on now the 7th year as we kick off the new year. And certainly, if you'd like to help me out, that's patreon.com/BubbaTrading. patreon.com/Bubba Treading. And for those of you who do and those of you who have in the past, you will actually get a login and you'll be able to check out the curriculum that we use so you can use it for yourself and kind of learn a little bit. So it's kind of like getting some education yourself. So go check that out. And don't forget to download The Bubba Show every single day at libertytalk.fm and help us get to our goal of 1 million downloads a month. And of course, Bubba's Daily Update is available to you free. All you have to do is go to bubbatrading.com and fill out the form, and you get sent to you a video every day about what I saw and what I think will happen tomorrow. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bob Orange will be right back after the break with more. The Bubba Show.
Margie said, Roy, you
ain't. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report. Bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct. At Bubba@thebubbashow.org, we want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at Bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. And of course, I'm sure on this New Year's Day, you've all made a ton of resolutions. I hope many of them include listening to the trading plan webinar I did on Saturday. It was really great. If you didn't get to see it or hear it, just shoot me an email and I'll send you a copy of it. You can listen to it. But I think it's something that I hope that you resolve yourself to make sure you take care of that. Otherwise, you're going to be in the same rat position as always, and I think it's much easier to be prepared. But so now, as we look around some of the individual things that are going on, and of course, you've got South Korea trying to control Bitcoin and potentially trying to go after the exchanges. And I guess my biggest question there is, how are they going to do that if Bitcoin is as private as they say it is, and I believe it to be? I mean, I didn't buy Bitcoin, but I did buy some cryptos. I mean, and not a lot of money. I'm just kind of dipping my toe in the water here, but. You know, China's trying to put some restrictions down, and I'm sure the United States will be next. And I think there's going to be, as I believe, that this is a financial revolution anyways. I think that's only going to accelerate the run to some of these cryptocurrencies. I think it's going to be, some major issues that are going to come out from this. And again, I don't see it as a fighting war, but I do believe it is a revolution. I have talked about this coming for years, and I think it's finally here. And I think it's got the banks, the big banks, the central banks, and the governments kind of needing some pampers. Okay, but then of course you've got the tax plan that has now been approved, and of course I think there's many issues there as well. And I know that many of us, including me, ran to pay our property taxes for next year. When you live in a crappy state like Illinois, that the taxes are ridiculous and they're leaving here in droves. But what I'm hearing now, and again, I don't know if it will be correct or not, but that if you haven't got billed yet for those taxes, then you cannot write them off. So I have paid mine for 2018 in full. Or I guess you're paying for 2017, whatever I paid the next bill, but I didn't get the bill yet. So that could be an issue that could create some potential selling off in the markets as well. But again, the tax plan itself, the repatriation of money. Does anybody out there really believe that these big companies are going to go ahead and start putting that money to work in this country? I mean, do we think that we have that little of a clue of what goes on? Because remember, all that money that's out there and it is out of the grasp of the United States government will probably stay there, repatriation or not. You know, when companies can borrow all the money they want for very little, why bother? I mean, if you added the spread of the loan and the difference in the tax rate, are you really going to bring it back? If you're an extremely profitable company like an Apple who just paid Tim Cook, I don't know, it was $42 million or something like that. I mean, are you really going to be in a rush to bring that money back and then have to deal with it again at some later potential time when these things start to change again? I don't know that it seems that great. I think that much of it will come back, but not to come back to go into capital expenditures, but will come back to go into buying back stock. All right. So again, great for the shareholders, great for the company, great for the way that the indexes look from sort of a price standpoint, but I don't think so good for the average guy on the street. You know, a big year up in the markets and 401ks are doing very well, and God bless, it was great. Great to see, you know, that many regained their funds that they had lost. And of course, if you look at the actual markets, though, most of the market rallies were driven by 5 to 6 stocks. So again, I ask you, you know, if your portfolio, which many did contain, had GE and some of the other dogs of the Dow in it, did you benefit 20%? Okay. You know, again, I have to always wonder, right, at how good everything happens to be. So that would be something that, you know, in that concerns me as well. But I think my biggest concern, well, I have a lot, but the biggest concern for this minute is the fact that we have the Fed and the central banks around the world and the government is basically pigeonholed every investor into one investment, one class, which is the stock market. And don't get me wrong, I'm a big fan of the stock market, right? I think that the stock market is the greatest place ever. And I've always been 100% invested in the stock market. But my point here is that when you take away the freedom of choice, when you take away the freedoms of Americans of where they can go with their money, and I mean, obviously you're free to go wherever you want, but if you need to make yield, then you've only got one place to go. And this is something that has been, I think, designed and almost constructed on an intentional basis to put everybody into that one asset class, which in theory kind of takes the heat off of everybody because everybody talks about the stock market. Unfortunately, very few in percentage-wise are actually really invested. You know, again, many, almost everybody who works and has a 401k has some money involved in equities. We try to have it be involved, but again, we sometimes tend to have to spend that money to eat, to feed our children, to maybe clothe our children. So we don't end up with that excess capital that can be a benefit of that, the greatest thing in life, which is the compounding effect of money. So here we are, you know, realizing that the United States of America is not only in unbelievable debt, and has the fourth worst debt to GDP of anybody. Okay. And you know who the three nations are in front of the United States are? I'll give you a second to think about a guess, and I'll come back and give you the answer. But there are three countries that are worse off than the United States of America. And they are three countries that have been in the news for years. In fact, one of them caused a little bit of the sell-off back a couple of years ago, and that is the pigs, okay? Pain. Spain, Portugal, and Greece, and Spain, okay, are worse off. So is it a surprise? Aren't we thrilled that we are being compared with debt to GDP to them? Not a very good situation, considering that they all have major troubles, including Italy as well. So that makes up the pigs as it is. And that's not derogatory. That's just what they call them. So, you know, is it a good thing? And I say no. Again, you can't create and hope to continue to create artificial phony growth on air bubbles. You can only try to borrow your way out of debt for so long before it does eventually, before the Ponzi scheme, which is what I believe that they have created, breaks down. All Ponzi schemes eventually go. All Ponzi schemes eventually break down. All right. Now, again, can this one last? Is it going to last longer? I mean, you know, the central banking system, the Fed's in a little bit different situation than others because they have the ability to print. Now, again, at some point, it's going to create a massive meltdown. But again, where, when, and where? Who could predict it? Who would have thunk? Okay. And then, of course, we look at the jobs number. Now, this Friday coming up, we've got a jobs number coming out, and I'm sure it'll be good, at least good in compared to what they say it they want it to be. But I ask you, okay, if it's so good and if jobs are so good, then why are Americans spending so much more than they're making once again? I ask you, you know, is real low jobs any good? I don't believe that it is. I believe that when the jobs number gets too low, it takes away competition. Okay, I think it takes away, you know, the ability for people to earn real money. And I think that becomes, again, the bigger issue is that we are still 20 years behind in what our earnings is compared to what has happened to inflation and compared to what's happened to other things. I think that there's a lot of issues out there that everybody continues to want to ignore that are real issues that can cause some real pain over time. And this is all kind of working itself into a powder keg of a major explosion. Again, I'm not telling you when it's going to happen. I'm not anywhere. I can't even think about when it would happen. But I know it will. This is not a new economy. All right. This is still about making money and growing. And I think one of the things we're seeing is we're not seeing the dramatic growth because we're not seeing the dramatic moves. So you have to look at it from a perspective of, you know, where and what. And again, to continue to try to pick it, again, would be pretty much of a suicidal move because, again, we've continued to move higher without any selling. I mean, in fact, I don't think in the last 80 or 90 days, we've not even had a 1% move. So a lot going on here, a lot of things happening on this New Year's Day version of the Bubba Show. Happy New Year to everybody. And, of course, a reminder to go to libertytalk.fm and download the Bubba Show every single day and help us get to our goal of 1 million downloads. And also, you know, Bubba's Daily Update, I do them every day for you, Monday through Thursday. I do a quick 4 to 5 minute video. Tell you what happened that day, what I think is going to happen tomorrow, and it's free. All I have to do is go to BubbaTrading.com. When the box pops up, just put in your information, and you will be on my list to get every day Bubba's Daily Update and my weekend version, Bubba's Bottom Line. In the meantime, we're going to stop out here for a break. We'll be right back with more of the Bubba Show on New Year's Day. Happy New Year, everybody. We'll be right back. Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz on New Year's Day. Happy New Year, everybody. And, you know, we got the big playoffs today in football, Alabama, Clemson, and Georgia, Oklahoma. So we're interesting and good to go, and it'd be exciting. And I'll give you my picks at the end of the show for the New Year's games. But in the meantime, all right, we've got, you know, a whole bunch of nothing going on, and you know, we got markets that are, you know, had a key reversal on Friday. But again, we've had many of those. We don't put a lot of stock into it. I think that what we have to watch for here is for a footprint that actually shows that the markets are getting ready to turn over. And, you know, I think we've seen a little bit of that in Apple. But I think one of the things that needs to be talked about here is, A, where do I see value in 2018? And what are my poor buddies and friends, the farmers and producers, are going to do when they're going to start out the year in an ugly situation with grains at rock bottom prices, basically? I mean, actually, it's funny. I took the ethanol value out of corn, and that puts us back in prices we haven't seen since the 90s. Where's that inflation, Janet Yellen, or whatever your new name of the new one is? Who can remember? Who cares? You know, I think that... I think that that's an issue, but I do actually believe it's going to, I think the farmers and producers are going to have a great year this year, pretty much across the board. I'm pretty excited. I'm participating. So it's not me. I'm not just talking, you know me, I'm in. But I think that again, I'm looking to be, I'm buying corn and wheat as if they were long-term stock plays. Okay. They don't pay a dividend, but they should pay a pop. So, and I think that there's things to watch But I don't think it's going to be, I think it's going to be a good year when it's all said and done, especially the way it's starting out with a lot of pressure. So those are areas that I'm looking at to be a buyer of goods as for investing. And I think that's what you'll see. I think when the equity markets do have a little bit of a sell-off, and I do believe we will see at least a 3% sell-off this year. But again, if there is the amount of money on the sidelines that they want us to believe there is, then also money's going to be looking for homes. And I can't think of many better values than, you know, ag prices at some of the price that we're trading at. So I expect to see that those markets perk up. Okay. And if the markets do sell off, then I would think that they would even go up higher. I think that the U.S. dollar is probably a great play in here. You know, again, it's got hammered the last few days at the end of the year, but I think that you're probably looking at some pretty good stuff. You know, I think oil is a pretty good sale here. Now, again, we've been saying that. So, again, I'm not trying to tell you that I'm going to be right here right away. And we did take one major beat down in oil during the year. But I think that, again, now it's more confirmed based on the pattern. And it just I'm just telling you that February and March oil are more expensive than May and June oil, which is not the correct formation, indicating some fear going on here. I think that there's going to be some more cryptocurrencies coming forward. And I think there's going to be, I think we will also start to see more stabilizing or more stabilization in that market. As you know, from Friday, I interviewed the world's first cryptocurrency bank. And I think they have the right idea. And I think that you're going to start to see, you know, some of the ones. Now, again, there's always going to be some schemes and scams in anything that there's big money in, right? But I think that, you know, look for some action there and look for some that may be for real. And again, I don't want anybody to invest everything. I'm saying, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, up to maybe 10% of your investment capital should go into some of these spaces. And I was reading over the weekend, somebody predicting gold is now in a breakout, which I'm not doubting that. I do think it'll have one more sell-off, but they're calling for an 8-year cycle run to the upside, which is also possible. I mean, I've always been a fan of gold anyways. I think that gold is going higher. I think it's going lower from here. I'm short-term bearish, as I say, and long-term bullish. So certainly if you're just investing and you want to buy some gold, you buy it anywhere. Again, whenever you want something that you're investing in, just go ahead and buy a portion, knowing that you could buy more higher or lower depending on what happens. I think that's more important than anything else, is just to get yourself situated depending on what you're trying to do. If you're a trader, then you can try to wait. I also think silver looks pretty good, but again, should have the same issues. I would not be surprised at all. You know, it's some of the big fangs. I think Apple's already, we were on Apple and selling Apple at 175 and higher, which is the all-time highs. I think that Apple's probably in for a little bit of a correction. I think Apple has got more problems than anybody wants to talk about. I think it's, you know, again, it's falling in some of the same trap that Microsoft fell in 2 years ago, and they've not had much innovation. I said that on Varney last week. So I said on After Bell last week. So I think that those are some issues that we look at. But I think that, you know, I think the Fed will get trapped this year. I think interest rates have to rise faster. And I think if the true free markets are going to show, I think you're going to see that start to happen, which means bond futures will get clobbered. It means that the dollar should be stronger, which is one of the reasons we like the dollar. And, you know, I don't know what it means for everything else, but again, I think that will also be some of the issue in the markets because, again, you know, a lot of this money that's in there, a lot of these earnings are based on this super cheap money. So, you know, that's one of the things you're looking at. You know, you look at the dollar at lows, you know, it really benefits, you know, Caterpillar and companies like that. So, you know, the banks have priced in better rates. Why? Because the banks are near all-time highs. Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan. I mean, if they're at all-time highs, they think that rates are going to rise faster because they're waiting for those rates to rise so they can get a better spread on the money that they're lending out. That's a simple equation. Okay, banks want to be able to get a wider spread. But overall, I think you've got, you know, probably some volatility comes back to the markets this year. I think that there's a fair chance that we get some real movement. I think there's a fair chance that there's a 10% correction. And again, not that it'll last. It could bounce right back. again, you do have the one fly in the bear's ointment remains the low interest rate environment. It makes it easier to do a lot of fancy accounting. And of course, you've heard me say this before, the numbers never lie, only the people that report them do. And I think that this is something that is a concern for me when you look at numbers like the Michigan sentiment. I'm not sure if you're aware of this or not, but Michigan sentiment is only based on 400 people. Okay. Or excuse me, 500. Chicago Purchasing Managers is 400. I don't know if 400 or 500 people represent the economy, especially knowing how the government reports are done. I can imagine that they went to, you know, 500, you know, top end businesses and got the views versus the guy working on the street. I think that, again, to me, I was never a fan, and it's not just because it's now. I'm just telling you that numbers are BS because they can be interpreted or put into a way that you think that they're better. But the actual numbers don't lie, and the numbers are not very good. Certainly in the jobs, we are not seeing increased wages. Right? So, again, we can have all the jobs we want. Without wages, you get nothing. So, you know, again, this is more of a, you know, trying to put ourselves in a more positive light when that light does not exist. But of course, I think that's also one of the great travesties of the world, is that the unknowing and the unsuspecting get it stuck to them because they have the faith and the trust that they're getting accurate information, which is typically not usually the case, because most of those numbers get revised upward or downwards depending on what happens anyways. So, you know, as we move into the new year, I think that, you know, caution is always advised. But one of the things you should always remember is make sure you have together your trading plan for the new year, and you should have a different plan for whether you're trading, investing. If you're doing both, you have it for both. If you're doing different products, you have to make sure you identify what you're trying to get done. I think that these are things that many of us forget about and don't do, and we end up in a bigger problem later. So I think those are things that you need to take care of and make sure that you understand how it works and what makes it work. And certainly, if you would like to hear my webinar from last Saturday, I'd be happy to send it to you. Just email me at bubba@bubbatrading.com. I'll send it right out to you. But in the meantime, we got football today and, of course, the national championship games and the Final Four. And we're going to take the Crimson Tide minus the three. I can't believe it. Minus the three over Clemson, although I love Clemson. But I do think that the Tide beats them here. And we're going to take the Georgia Bulldogs to beat up poor Baker Mayfield, who's really trying to make himself the guy. And so we're going to take Georgia and Alabama, SEC, all SEC championship game. In the meantime, don't forget to download The Bubba Show every single day at libertytalk.fm so you can help us get to our goal of 1 million downloads a month. Certainly, we want you to help us get there. And to everybody, all of you, happy, healthy, prosperous new year. I look forward to another great year of talking and hanging out with you. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here tomorrow. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Happy New Year, everybody. We'll see you later.
Turn the quiet up. Turn the noise down.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.